last week was kind of staying on track. This week, another way to stay on track with the topic, I don't know if you guys have read the book, Practice the Presence of God. Practice the Presence of God. And there's a solid message in this idea. I'd like to start out reading Psalm 139 for you guys. He says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know me when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and laying down. You are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you knew it all. You have enclosed me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn and dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even your hand will lead me. Your right hand will lay hold of me. I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me. The light of the ground around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you form my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows this very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book was written all the days ordained for me, when there was not yet one of them. How precious are your thoughts towards me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. And when I wake, I am still with you. That you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those that hate you, Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate with the utmost hatred that they become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way within me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Amen. This is Psalm 139. It's such a powerful message. And he says, where can I go from thy spirit? Where can I flee from thy presence? And where is it that I could go ever that wasn't evolved or a part of you? You know, where could we go that the Lord wouldn't be there? Amen. Is there any place that we could go that the Lord couldn't reach? You know, heaven, hell, middle of the sky, middle of the stars, middle of the ocean, the deep, home, prison, right? Amen? Amen. Is there anywhere we can go that the Lord cannot be?
No.
No. He's there, old, young, alone, for they're out there, everywhere. The Lord's omniscience, and that he's all-knowing, and his omnipotence being that he's all-powerful, and his omnipresence being that he's everywhere at one time. And when we think about God, we need to respect who God is. Who is the God that I serve today? What is the God that I serve today? Because if I'm really starting to grasp his capability, then I can stretch my faith a little bit farther. Amen? Because what I don't have is faith in me, right? I want to have faith in me. I've had faith in me, but I see the track history. Anybody want to read about it? It's this tall. Amen? Right? Yes or no, right? So, with all the experience and everything and knowledge that I put together, it falls to nothing, crumbles. But then when I think about God and I think about his ability to know every single thing, his ability to be all powerful in that with God, nothing is impossible. Anybody know that verse? Right? With God, nothing is impossible, right? It may not be the way that I want it to be, right? Because I get this idea that, you know, this is the way it's supposed to play out, and then it don't play out that way. And also, am I jaded or am I not following the truth? All powerful, omnipresent, everywhere at once, past, future, young, old, every situation that we're in, God is there. In Exodus 33, he says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Psalm 44 says, O God, We have heard with our eyes, and our fathers have told us the work that thou didst in the days and the days of old, that thou own hand didst drive out the nations, and thou didst plant them. They did afflict the people, and thou didst spread them abroad. For thou own sword they did not possess in the land. Their own arm did not save them, but thy right hand and thine arm, and thy light of the presence, for thou didst favor them. And what he's saying is, so this whole group of people went into the army, and they fought against an inconceivably impossible battle, but somehow won, and came to the knowledge that God had done that for them. God had broken way for them. Right, and they realized that and gave the gratitude back to God. And I want to look at these challenges that some of us are facing and some of us do not have yet. And I want to think to ourselves, am I facing that challenge or is God facing that challenge? Because if I got faith in God and he's omnipresent, omnipotent, what can't God do in that situation then? Amen. Right? If that's a closed door, then how do I know that the Lord isn't leading me in another direction? Right? If the way that I'm beating and beating and beating and beating and beating and beating and beating is breaking all my tools, maybe that's not the direction I'm supposed to go. Maybe I got to pray a little more and get quiet and listen a little bit and try to remap out that direction that the Lord wants to lead me in. I'm not sure, because I know a lot of times in my own life I try to force the direction I'm trying to go in, right? Amen. You put all your effort in something and you drive as hard as you can drive, but for some reason, every time you check the mile marker, it's the same mile. Right? Amen. All that energy, all that time, no progress. All that energy, all that time, no progress. And then you think about it and you start to implement your faith and application in your life, and then you look and all of a sudden the mile marker changed. Amen. Right? It's just interesting, and I love the fact that these guys went into bloodshed and didn't come out and say, I fought that war, right? Because that's how we feel. I did that time. I built this house. I paid them bills, right? Yes or no? Right? Right? But the reality is, God provided a house and a home and a job and a car and a family and whatever I have for the resources to do that. Amen. So God paid for that house. God paid that bill. God bought that car. Amen. Right? And the attitude of gratitude. Understanding that for everything we're thankful for, we give praises. You know, blessings go up or praises go up. I say that in reverse every single time it comes. Every time it comes to my mind, I always say it backwards. But I think about that, though. You know, how grateful am I really? You know, when I'm thinking about the practicing the presence of the Lord, and I just take today, you know, 2/14/18 on the calendar. If I had God in the forefront of every decision that I made today, do you think that every single decision would have been different than it was? I know that it would have. I know that it would have. Right? Because when God is in my mindset and God is in the forefront of everything that I'm doing, then he eliminates the ability for me to house negativity. Right? But we get stressed, we get frustrated, we get faced with challenges, and we see these other things, and now all of a sudden like we start to feel that burning frustration, and now all of a sudden we've had it, right? I mean, everybody has a line. But the reality of it is perspective, though. Because if God did all this and then provided the way for me, what am I frustrated about? What am I really frustrated about? Every single one of us are here. We're clothed. We're fed. We have an opportunity. We have our faith. Amen? Amen. Right? God said that with God, nothing is impossible. I may not have what I want to have. I may not be where I want to be. But if God is in my life, I know I'm going. I know I'm on that way. I'm on that ride. You know what I mean? I just got to get on. Right? And then I know that my carnal man wants to jump off every time. You know, it's like things aren't coming into play fast enough. And I just want to take the wheel. But the reality is every time I take the wheel, I turn it around. That's the ultimate challenge. You know, even David said, Paul said, for the sin that I do not, that I do, I wish that I didn't do. But what is the sin that dwells within me, not me? Well, what's the answer? The next chapter, Christ. Christ within me, you know, surrendering to my faith and understanding that the application of God's word and his knowledge in my life begins to direct me spiritually perfectly. Amen? But I don't have that ability, right? I just don't have it. I've never had it. Only in my life, I can run good for time periods. It might be 1 week, 6 months, 6 years, but no matter what, there's a timer on that run. Is that familiar or no? You ever run really good and then it come out from underneath you and run really good and it come out from underneath you and run really good? Read Malachi. Malachi said that your house is, you know, beautiful, but my house lies in ruins. He said, why? It's because you didn't consider me. You didn't consider me, so you filled the bag with empty holes. So basically, I just keep filling all my loot up, but I can't obtain it all because I'm not really doing anything right by it. I'm just going out and getting everything I can do for myself rather than the Lord. But the one time you turn to the Lord and build that faith up and build your house, your home, your life, and that spiritual life set of God's ways, then all of a sudden it starts to grow. Amen? Then it doesn't get knocked down. And he talks about that in Matthew when he says, you are Peter, and he said, on this rock I will build my church. And what's he saying? It's I'm building this. I'm going to give you the keys. Whatever you shall have bound on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. What's he saying? He said, I'm going to give you the spiritual power to stand on my faith. That whatever you say in this land will be true in heaven. Whatever you say. Amen. If it's according to my will. Why does he say that? Because he says, my word does not return to me void. So the key is, if I could acclimate myself to his word and his teaching, then I will not return void. Amen? I don't have to put my head down anymore. Because I'm in that scripture and I know I'm moving forward and that scripture is true. It's truth. That's why Jesus said the truth will set you free. Psalm 46. He said, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountain should slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountain quake at its swelling pride. In other words, when everything around me is chaos and nothing seems to be making sense, in the Lord I can be sure. Amen? He said that the waters roam and pour and the mountains slip into the sea, so a very present help in trouble, that God is the refuge. Amen? It's not the quick decision. It's not the you know what I mean, the 35 years of experience and knowledge that we thought was going to provide the answer. It's faith. Hebrews 13, he himself said, I will never leave you. I will never desert you. I will never forsake you. I will never forsake you. And I've heard lots of songs, you know, in the past about being a friend in Christ. And you think about the type of friend that we are today. And many of us are very good friends, very strong friends. But I can tell you this, we have never been a friend in the way that the Lord could befriend us. Amen, right? Well, unfortunately, I would like to say that here is the mentor group that's here that will be 100% accountable at all times. But the reality is, I can't say that, right? I can't say that for me. But I can say that for Christ. I can say that his word and his will and his blessings, his teaching is 100% accountable. Amen? I can say that. And it is 100% available to each and every single one of us. And that is flawless. Amen? But we are still people. We're still people. Joshua 1, 5 through 7, be strong and courageous. I want to look at that. He said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall live with these people's possession in the land of which I swore the fathers to give them. Only to be strong and very courageous, be careful according to the law by which Moses the servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. And what's God saying? God said, if you acclimate yourself to my word and my will and my teaching, you will succeed. Amen? But he said, don't turn from it. Not to the left, not to the right. Right? Don't turn from it. Because what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Immediately, we're not going to see that progressive, measurable outcome. Immediately, we're going to start taking them steps back. And I know that there's circumstances in life that try to call us to change our mind from what we're thinking. There's all kinds of things that happen, you know, that come about in our lives that cause us to question where we are, what we're doing, what the decision is. But the reality is that God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but don't turn to the left and don't turn to the right. Amen. Stay grounded in that faith. Stay grounded in that truth. And the truth is, in your life, will set you free. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is with us 24/7, any place, any time, from the spirit to the man, from the dust to the spirit. We need to have this mindset and thinking spiritually, practicing the presence of God. In all the things that we do, how can we, you know, do more to keep God at the forefront of our mind? Now, I know one thing that I do, and what Marvin's done for me is he's made little, you know, copies of messages, and I do copies of messages, and our messages are online and available, and I know that there's a million messages out there. If those of you that are driving around a lot got a lot of free time, you can always play a message in your car. And I can testify to this just 100%. I'm driving my car. I'm the same exact person. I'm driving my car. I'm listening to music. Somebody cuts me off, I want to run them over. I'm driving my car. I'm listening to the message. Somebody cuts me off, I back off a little bit. Smile. Maybe pray for them, Lord. That's what I always hear in my thought process. Something happens. You drive by. I'm like, pray for them, Lord. But God forbid I'm listening to music and they cut me off. You know, you know, and it's just, it's so funny how, you know, with God at the forefront of your mind, it can really just keep you in his goodwill. It keeps his hand around you, you know. And I know that's just a silly example, but it's the reality, you know. Let's say you have a really, 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 really tough day at work. One of those days when the alarm clock went off and you want to break the alarm clock. You get in the car, don't want to start. You finally get there. You're running late. You know, you got 58 things you got to do as soon as you get off because you're busy. And you're just having that tough day at work. And that boss comes along and says that one crooked thing to you. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a man of men. And I have been challenged by my pride. That is one of the biggest faces, things that I've had to face, you know, and learn how to control is that attitude. Amen. Anybody else struggle with that attitude or no? I'm the only one.
No. I got you.
Okay. I've got at least three that are willing to admit that attitude sometimes can be a challenge in their life, right? Because you know, I'm doing my thing. I'm minding my business. I'm working. I'm not. And you're coming at me crooked. And I know that you're in the wrong. And all of a sudden, you know what I mean? I'm going to give it to you. But the reality of it is, if I'm practicing the presence of God, if I'm thinking about that, if the Lord is with me 24/7, any place, any time, then no matter what occurs to me, that he's walking in me, walking in that life for an opportunity for me to stay in that love, and that same situation comes. And I think David wrote about that in Psalms somewhere when he says, you know, when your commander comes to you, you know, crookedly, mind your guard, mind your position peacefully. And that situation will dissipate. Now, it's a paraphrase, and I could look it up later on if somebody really wanted to know where it was at. But at the end of the day, what he's saying is, when you're in position, no matter what comes at you from the world, if you're in your position, then it bounces off. Amen? But if I'm not in my position and it comes at me and I handle it the way I used to handle things, obviously, you know, I just keep thinking that the newspaper's going to read Pastor Beats Man on Highway. And I don't want that. You know what I mean? I really don't want that. I think about it sometimes. You know, I do, because I'm that guy. I'm the right one. You know what I mean? And it's so staying in my faith is so important. And I think that we can all relate to that. You know, just staying in that position, staying in that protection. I know he talks a lot of times about being in the eagle's wings. You know, anybody familiar with that? Soaring and being in the eagle's wings.
Yep.
And there's a progress. Like there's a process of this story of why he brings that up. Because A, when the chicks are born, they're born into a feathery, protected area so high up in the sky that no other predator can get to them. It is impossible. Like, they are safe. Mom is going to keep you warm, and then she's going to go get food. She's going to bring it back to you. But there's stages, though. And pretty soon, Mom realizes that these kids are going to have to get up and get out the house. And I wish they realized that in my house. I need to follow. I'm going to have to pay attention to this message when I get home tonight. But anyway, so she notices that they're not willing to take those steps because it's so comforting to stay right where they're at. Amen. So she goes in and she removes the feathers, and now all of a sudden that little nest is thorny. It's thorny now, and it's uncomfortable. But nevertheless, I'm safe. I know I'm safe, so I'm staying. But it's uncomfortable, but I'm staying. So she goes and she goes and feeds. Notice they don't take a step out. Well, next thing you know, she starts to break the cage down, start to break that little nest down. Now all of a sudden, I'm standing here by myself. I got nothing to protect me. The wind's blowing. I'm chilling, and she's going. She's still feeding me, still getting me what I need, but she's expecting me, but I just feel safe. So what happens next? She gets in behind them and she starts nudging them to the cliff. And you suddenly you look over that cliff and you go, oh no. I ain't jumping. I can't jump. I won't make it. And pretty soon, if they don't jump, what'd she do? She pushes them off. And I just picture this. Right before they hit the ground, boom, she catches them and takes them back up. And just about the time that their knees quit wobbling, she kicks them off again. Ah! She will do that every single time. Eventually, one day, whew, fly them with mama. Amen. And you want to think about this in our faith and think about this in our situations, in that many times we're just so comfortable that we don't want to face that change. But God keeps taking them feathers out. Then he leaves us with the thorns. Then he moves the nest. And he's just saying, my son, my daughter, I need you to take that leap of faith. Amen. In me. So that you can fly and that you can succeed in my faith. Amen. And you think about that. And that ultimately it's love. It was love when it was feathers, and it was love when it was flying, right? But ultimately, it's love. And we got to think about God and how powerful he is, and just being that weak little bird that's just not sure of our surroundings. Because ultimately, we're not. Amen? Amen. Psalm 33 says, sing to him a new song. Playfully, skillfully sing with a shout of joy. I mean, I know that I'm not much of a singer, but at the end of the day, I like the idea of singing to him a new song, because that same old song is old to me, right? I know that same old song. I don't want to sing that song no more, right? I know what it is. I know how it goes, and I know where it takes me. So I'm ready for that new song today. Ephesians 5, he says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the deal. We talked about that last week. If I can be thankful for this modest apartment, for this little car, for this little job, then God can see my gratefulness and grow me in my position. Amen. But if I'm not grateful for anything that I have today, why should I receive anything more? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? So I got to wake up and I said, Lord, in my humble position today, I may not be where I am. And an example from the text would be Jabez. Jabez was an honorable man. He said, more honorable than his brothers. And his mother bore his name because she birthed him in pain. But the thing is he stood out from the beginning. And that's the point of that. What he said is, Jabez called on the Lord, O God. And he said, bless me and bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Keep my hand from evil that I don't cause pain. Amen. So he's aware that as a man, I myself am dangerous. Amen. I can be. So A, keep your hand around me and keep me at peace. But bless me and enlarge my territory. Grow me. And it said in the end of the verse that God granted his request. Amen. So he looked up at God. And he said, God, I'm thankful for the things that I have today, but I want to grow. So you think it's sinful to tell God that you're ready to grow? Amen. But I think the first thing, just like from a manager standpoint, if one of my employees is going to come to me and say, I'm ready to grow, what am I going to do? I'm going to look at their history. What is it that you're doing right now that makes me believe that you should want to grow? You're a guy that's murdering it every day. You're not dropping any balls. You got everything handled. You're grateful for what you do. You got a good attitude. Let's go. You show up late. Don't do your job. Not grateful for what you have already. Am I going to promote them? What's different? Amen. Right? So I want to think about that. I want to think about him looking at me like that. It said, just always giving thanks for all things. And that's another way to spin that perspective. You want to know how to change your day? You want to have a different day than you had yesterday? Tomorrow morning, promise me this. When you wake up and that alarm clock goes off, or you don't have an alarm clock, that very first time you open your eyes, lay there and do not get up and tell yourself, Lord, thank you for this bed. Thank you for these covers. Thank you for this alarm clock. Thank you for these clothes. Thank you for this food. Thank you for this breakfast. Thank you for this opportunity. So that every single event that occurs tomorrow, you're grateful for. Amen. And tell me that you don't have a different day at the end of the day than you did had you wake up Yosemite Salmon. Hosea said, sow with a new view of righteousness. Reap in accordance to his kindness. Break up your fellow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain his righteousness on you. So it's a mindset of what can I do for God rather than what can God do for me? Because we a lot of times, you know, being young and or not being, you know, quite grown too far down in our faith, a lot of times we look at our situations, we always think, God, what can you do for me here? Right? But if my mindset's changed to waking up and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, God, what can I do for you today? Amen. God's going to give me those things to make me able to carry out that request. Amen. Right? That's I know that one time we talked about sowing and reaping, and we didn't get back to the point of whatever you're lacking in, sow. Right? If some of us are lacking in patience, sow that patience. Show that forgiveness. If some of us are lacking in, you know, whatever you're lacking in your life. Because remember, God gives back more, 10 times more than what we give to him. Amen. So wherever I'm lacking in my life, maybe that's where I'm not giving in my life. Amen. Right? And I want to look at myself personally and look and itemize, deduct, say, these are the things that I'm missing in my life. Am I sowing in that area? Amen. Amen? Yep. If I ain't got nobody that loves me, then how much love am I showing? Right? Because if you sow that love, you're going to receive that love. What is it that I'm missing in my life? He said, sow with the view to righteousness and reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fellow ground, your fallow ground. What he's saying is, it's untilled. You know, that's what he's talking about sin. When we live our lives in sin, our ground gets hard. And what God wants to do is he wants to break that ground up with his love so that he can sow them seeds. Amen. So that we can grow. But if we're still hard, then he can't get in there. Psalm 51, 10 through 13 says, sustain me with a willing spirit. 47 and 8 says, I delight in thy will, and it is within my heart, a part of who I am. A part of who I am. I love that. I love that. When David said, I've been in this word and I've been in this faith for so long that I realize now that it is me. Amen. That it's becoming me. Amen. That's what I want to see. Amen. Ultimately, right?
Yep.
In closing already, it says, if you then have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things of above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So here's another thing to help us with that mindset. You know, if my mindset today is not focused on all these things right here in front of me, but focused on him. He said, keep seeking the things above where he is. Amen. Right? In Matthew, he's talking about not building up treasures that mold and rust, but build up treasures in heaven where we will be eternally. And I don't know about many of you guys, but have you ever realized how good it feels to help other people? Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Right? Because there's a reward there. The more you put your faith in doing God's work, the more you put your faith in showing God's love in the community, and the more that you can do for your brothers and sisters, no matter who they are, where they are, what they have, what they got, if you play that role and stay in that position, that's more rewarding than anything else you're going to run into.
Amen.
Some of us in here know that. Amen. I challenge you to try it. But he said, don't think about all these things down here. You know why? Because it's so easy. It's 2018 microwave generation. Turn your TV on. It's every single thing I don't got. Right? All I got to watch all day long is all the things that I'm not going to get. So how long is it going to take me to start feeling off track when in reality God said, man, all that stuff's going to rust. Amen. I got something for you that they don't got. Amen. It's right here. Look where I'm at. Prayer, a solemn address to a supreme being, or my definition is just being communication with God. 1 Thessalonians 15, 5:15 says, or 17 says, pray without ceasing. And what he's saying is that all day long I'm in prayer. All day long I'm in prayer. I'm just communicating. I'm communicating in my faith. If God is every single place, no matter what, at every single time, no matter what, do you think that he hears my inner thoughts? Right? So why couldn't I be talking to him? It's better I'm talking to him than talking to myself. Amen? Right? They're like, this guy's talking to himself again. But that ain't true. I'm praying. You know, it says pray without ceasing. You know, ask, address, petition. Remember the relationship status. Anytime you have a relationship, if you don't put forth effort into that relationship, what happens? Right? How many of you guys have had great friends and then nothing happened? Nothing happened. Nothing came in between you but time. But then if so much enough time gets done, all of a sudden you're looking at each other a little funny. Right? Yes or no? Right? Because we didn't put forth that effort into that friendship. It started to decay. Well, is that the way I'm treating my faith? Do I just walk around and say, God knows where I'm at. He knows where I'm at. Or am I just going to talk to him right now? Lord, do you see what I see right now? And you wonder why I feel this way? Can I not be real with you in my situation? Because he knows, right? Where can I go? Depths of the sea? Prison? Amen? Is there anywhere I can go that he isn't? Nope. So why can't I just talk to him about it? Why can't I just open my mind and my heart right then and there to that situation? Lord, I know you're here with me right now. Amen? Pray without ceasing. Prayer is a very, very, very powerful thing. Practicing the presence of God. 1 John 4:8. God is love. So if there's any principle that I could focus on in receiving and sharing, it's love. Amen? If love is at the forefront of every decision that we make, if we stay in that love in all the things that we do, then we know that we're practicing that presence of God. Amen?